All right, our reading is taken from 1 Peter, chapter number 1, starting at verse number 18. We just praise God for this choir. I told y'all.
Amen.
Starting at verse number 18. Please follow along because I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers falls. But the word of God."
All right.
I'm sorry. "But the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you." Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Amen.
Amen.
And as you look your neighbor square in the eye, say,
"Neighbor,
have you received
the announcement?
Neighbor,
have you received
the announcement?" Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Have you received the announcement?" Now, the definition of the word announcement is a public statement with the intent to identify the facts, occurrence, or intention. It's a public announcement. It's a statement that takes place to identify facts, occurrences, or intention. So we always hear announcements. And if you're riding in the car and you're looking at the clouds getting a little dark, Sister Davis, you all of a sudden hear that beep for a long time, and it tells you that this is the Wakefield Weather Center making you aware of what's going on. Y'all know what that's called? That's called an announcement. You follow me? And again, an announcements are identified by fact, occurrence, or intention. Now, what has happened here in the scripture? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 25 is where we are dealing with today. But this entire epistle is what is identified as a general epistle. Said it before, just reiterating for those who haven't heard it before. And the whole purpose of it being general is that it was not written for a specific church. It was written for the church. Did you hear that? It wasn't written for a specific church and issues in the church. It is written for the church so that we will truly understand why we are in church right now.
And as we were in Vacation Bible School all last week, dealing with our theme for the week and for the entire year, I'm God's investment. Now, based on that, as we look at verse 18, there was a ransom paid for us. A ransom paid for folk who had futile ways inherited from your ancestors. Which means that what Peter is saying is that y'all who are benefiting from this ransom were basically mimicking those who came before you. You were living a life that truly did not praise God, identify God, or live for God. You were doing everything you were big and bad enough to do because sin had grabbed a hold of you, put a cloud over your eyes, and allowed you not to see anything other than how it was right then and there. But I am so thankful that Jesus came and he paid the price. But you know what he did for us? He blew away the cloud long enough for us to see that there is a better way. He blew the cloud away for us to see that we don't have to stay stuck, bound, beat up, and toe up from the flow up. I want you and I to know that Jesus came to create the opportunity so that we no longer would live a life in despair, would live a life with no hope, would live a life of hatred, bitterness, and racism, and bigotry. That Jesus Christ, who came and died for everybody, he ain't died for black folk, he ain't just died for white folk, he ain't just died for yellow folk, he ain't just died for brown folk, he died for the whole world. You see, we got to understand something. I don't care how much craziness you hear up out the White House that is trying to create division in this country. You and I have to know that the God who loves us, Lord knows, still loves him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have to know for a fact today and understand and identify. A ransom was paid for folk who didn't really understand. A ransom was paid for folk who would not give God the time of day. A ransom was paid. Because we did not realize how broke and beat down we were. And the one thing we got to understand about our ransom, Rem Rhodes, it wasn't paid by something that can perish. Our ransom wasn't paid by silver or gold. You know, if you put those two items in a hot oven, eventually it will melt. But what we're seeing here is that the price was paid, and it was paid by the blood of Jesus. And he goes on to say just a little bit like this. He goes on to say it's like a lamb without defect or blemish. So what we have to understand, something that was squeaky clean came and died for something that was filthy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I think sometimes in the church, Sister Davis, we get so holy, we forget about how dirty we used to be. And when we get so holy and forget about how dirty we used to be, that when dirty folk come in the door, we turn our nose up at them and say, why in the are they in our church? Because the Lord sent them there. Because he's going to work through those who are there so that they can understand that I don't have to stay dirty, but I now can be made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you know Tide, Shout, All, Purex, Whisk, ain't got nothing on the blood of Jesus. Because there are some stains that all these detergents can't get out. But I want you to know the blood of Jesus Christ, it's better than shout. You know that stuff shout they squirt on coal? And say, if you can't get it out, shout it out. Well, I'm here to tell you something. If you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can go on and shout because you know that you've already got it out because the blood of the Lamb has cleaned you and made you whiter than snow. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands it's nobody but Jesus that healed me, delivered me, turned me around, and made me whole? He paid the ransom that you and I could not pay. And I want you to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it wasn't a response. It was already in place. Now, what am I saying? Because when you look at verse number 20, it tells us that he was destined before the foundation of the world was revealed at the end of the age for your sake. Some folk think that Jesus was a response to the problem. It was already in place because God understood that when he made us, we had free will. So we had free will to embrace, free will to turn away. But he would not make us. He wanted us to make the decision based on the evidence of who he is. And based on what we know is the reason why Adam and Eve should not have touched that tree in the garden. You see, but the one thing that you and I need to understand, we ain't better than Adam and Eve. We just like them. We always focus on the one thing we know we ain't supposed to have. Some of y'all in here deal with what we call sugar. The term is diabetes. And y'all know y'all ain't supposed to be eating all that chocolate cake, pie and ice cream every night. But every night you get that ice cream and that pie, but I ain't gonna eat no cake. Are you working with me? Now I'm using an example we all can relate to. Because we all know somebody who got sugar. But what we have to realize is that Jesus came and knew what was going to happen before it happened. Because he was already in place before the earth was full. Before the foundation existed. You know, he was already in place. You see, because, and that's where our world gets it from today. You see, we got firemen who are waiting for a fire. We got policemen who are waiting for a problem. We got ETM who are waiting for somebody to get sick. Somebody working with me? Are you understanding how it happens? We got some folk with tow trucks waiting for somebody to break down. You see, everybody's waiting to respond to what could happen. You see, but God already knew what was going to happen. So it was already in place. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm happy about this. Because we learned in verse 21, it says, through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. You see, that's why I'm thankful for my big brother Jesus. Because he set my faith and hope on God. Which in all actuality, what he did was put our focus on where our focus needs to be. You see, because if you're focusing and putting your faith and hope in somebody else other than God, I want you to know, get ready for disappointment. You see, I want you to understand something. I'm your pastor. I love you. You love me. But I want you to understand, don't you put and set your faith and hope on me. Because if you do, you will get disappointed. I ain't trying to do it. It might happen without me even knowing it. You tap me on the shoulder, I turn around and smile. Oh, see, he ain't speak to me. He just smiled at me today. We have to know where to set our faith and hope. And if all of us set our faith and hope on the Father through the actions of the Son. You see, the one thing that you and I got to understand is that the crucifixion was the first phase. The resurrection was phase two. So in essence, that you and I would benefit and create phase three. Oh, somebody gonna get that. Lord just gave that to me. I didn't even think about that one. Phase one was that the sin of the world had to lose its power over us. That's why it was nailed to the cross. But after phase one, those who was his followers were disheartened, hurt, afraid, and on the run. But phase two happened early on Sunday morning, because Jesus got up with all power in his hands. And when he got up with all power in his hands, he let us know he had the victory over death, hell, and the grave. You couldn't get to phase two unless there was a phase. So don't give too much attention to phase one without following up with. You see, the first two only God can do. But look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you phase three. Because look at what he says at the end of that verse, number 21. So that your faith and hope are set on God. Jesus did phase one and two so that we would implement phase three. It is our job to live a life of faith and hope in God. On God. Looking to God. Making him truly the head of our lives. Knowing that I live because of God. I have a house because of God. I'm in my right mind because of God. I have my good health because of God. I can lift my hands. I can stop my because of God. I can shout hallelujah because of God. So don't you realize that we are phase three? And since we are phase three, what do you do? Hallelujah.
Say it so, Pastor. Say it so. Say it so. Yes. Yes.
Do you realize the events that have taken place? What events that were mind-blowing? Events that took the disciples. Phase one basically broke the disciples.
Yes.
Many of them were in complete despair, Brother Freeman.
Yes.
Thought that it was over. Because their eyes saw phase one occur.
Oh, yeah.
But they had forgotten that Jesus had already told them about phase two.
Yeah.
And we ain't no different. Because when we see stuff happen, we forget about phase two and phase three. Because when things happen in our lives, they tend to overwhelm us to the point we forget about phase two and phase three. So what the Lord is saying to us, if you trusted in God when you first came, you better keep trusting. There's always going to be something that's trying to get your attention. But keep trusting. The money might get a little funny, but keep trusting. You might wake up one day and feel like you can't walk, but you keep. The money might get funny, but I'm gonna. You might be having some marital issues right now, but I'm gonna. Children might seem like they ain't acting like they got any kind of good sense, but I will. My job is talking about laying folk off, but I will keep on. And I tell you, my family might be saying this or saying that about me, but that's all right. I'm gonna. Because I know that Jesus died, rose for me. My phase is three. And what I need to do is continue to walk by faith and have hope and set everything on God. Because Jesus came to bring our attention back to the Father. Don't you know he is the one who is our bridge over troubled water? Don't you know he is the key that unlocked the door? Don't you know through his actions, you and I can come into the presence of the Father. And when the Father sees us, he sees that we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. Don't you understand? We got something to be excited about. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, I am excited about phase three. See, if you're going to hold on to phase three, this is what you got to be about. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't talk about it. Be about it. Look at verse number 22. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the what? I got to stop right there. Purify. Now that you have purified your souls, now that you have, I have purified my soul. Well, I couldn't save myself, so how am I going to purify my soul? Starts with your mouth speaking what's in your heart. It starts with you saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Order my steps as I move forward. Lord, help me stop cussing folk out. Help me stop running the streets. Help me stop putting stuff in my body that's hurting me. Help me from stop having a wandering eye. Help me, Lord, to be better today than what I was on yesterday. Because when you start talking like that, you'll start purifying your soul. You see, the Lord has given us everything to make ourselves clean. But I want you to know, if you're still dirty, it ain't nobody's fault but you. Oh Lord, everybody with me? Hallelujah. Y'all understand what we're talking about? You see, it's on you and I. Because I want you to know, sometimes folk will pluck your nerves. Some folk will make you want to cuss them out. Some folk will make you want to shake out of them. But it's left up to you and I. Say, Lord, purify my soul. Help me to get a little better today, Lord, than what I was on yesterday. Help me to continue to grow, because, Lord, I am a reflection of you. It's not about me. I'm all about you. So help me to purify my soul. And it only happens through my obedience. It only happens through my obedience. It only happens through my obedience to the truth. Do you see it? Is this me talking? Where is it coming? Right? So that you have genuine mutual love. Love one another deeply. How deep do you love them from? From the heart. God wants us to have genuine mutual love. He don't want you smiling at folks and, oh, yeah, that's a sorry individual right there.
I see this smile here. This the picture smile. You say something funny, the smile ain't going to look like this. But are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
God wants you and I to be what? Genuine. So in all actuality, God wants us to be what? Real. And until you can be real, you ain't going to be able to grow but so much. You see, because of the fact that you're the only reason why you have stumped your own growth, because you ain't being real. And as long as you hating on somebody else, you ain't being real. You see, that if you can love folk who love you back, that's just so easy. But when you start having to smile and encourage and help folk who wouldn't give you the time of day, or smile or pray for folk who just been dogging your name out and running your name in the mud. But when you are able to go and still do your Father's business in spite of how folk have come across to you, no matter what they say about you, no matter how they treat you, it's called genuine mutual love. We got to love each other deeply from the heart, because don't you know what Jesus did for you and I? He did it from the heart. He's not asking us to do no more than what he did. But he has already given us the example of what to do, how to do, and how to do it right. And then he just says, you know why you can do all this? Because you don't come from a perishable seed. A seed that will perish will have limits. A seed that will perish focuses on temporary and not eternal. The seed that you and I have is a seed that is imperishable, which means that it does not have a beginning and an end. It began with the Father. He's infinite. So since he is infinite, he has no beginning and no somebody working with me. So since we have been saved by an imperishable seed, I want you to know that seed will never wear out. All that seed will ever do is grow inside of us. And whatever grows inside of us that come from the Father, don't you know that's also imperishable? No weapon formed against it shall prosper. You and I got to remember who we are. We got to remember whose we are. You got to remember what God has called us to do. We got to stop walking around like little wimps. We got to stop walking around saying, well, maybe God will know. You got to know God for yourself. You got to know what God has put inside of me. It is everlasting. It is eternal. I recognize he put the eternal in something that's temporary, because he wants you to know that this might break down and it will eventually go back to the earth. But what God put in us will never perish. It will go on through all eternity. So now that we understand this, he goes and he quotes Isaiah chapter 40 verses 6 through 8. He says, all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass what? Withers. The flowers what? But. Whenever we see that word but, we getting ready to do what? We ain't going down the same road. We about to make a. But. Isn't that what he said? But. The word of the Lord endures for a little while. Huh? Oh, wait a minute. Let me check. Wait a minute. Sometimes it just happens. But the word of the Lord endures what?
Forever.
So since that word endures forever, it is a word that is what? Imperishable. Do you see it? Now, this is where the sermon heading came in. The word is the good news that was announced to you. Have you received the announcement? I ain't talking about if you heard it. Or you're listening to it. Have you received it? Because the fact is that he was put on the cross took the sin of the world, died for our sins, and got up early on Sunday morning. That's the fact we believe. It occurred in order to bring a change in our lives. His intention was us to understand phase one and phase two. And it's left up to us now to implement. Oh, I thought y'all were with me. I was getting ready to bring it all home. I was getting ready to bring it on home. So don't even look at your watch. Check it out. An announcement is a statement which identifies the fact, occurrence, or intention. What Jesus has done takes care of all three of those. The fact that he lived and he died. And he got up early on Sunday morning. The occurrence was so that we no longer would have to be bound by sin. And his intentions was to make sure that once we recognize phase, understood phase, now it's left up to us to implement. Have you received the announcement? Because if you receive the announcement, you got something to praise God for. You got something that won't allow you to be bound any longer. You got something to let you know, no matter what's going on, right now, I'm going to thank and praise God because I believe that my God will make a way out of no way. When I put phase three into action, I'm able to see the power of God working all around me and working through me. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when I think about all that God has done for you and I, we can't sit down and shut up. We got too much that God has brought us through. We got too much that God is done in us and doing right now in us. When we think about all God has done, and when he did what he did for us, we weren't at our best, but we were at our. But the question is, do your actions answer the announcement? In phase three. What are you doing now to glorify God? What are you doing now that is truly allowing folk to see the Christ in you? I know my name, Kevin Cook. I know I'm the pastor, what y'all call me by, but it's just a title. If I have not received the announcement. It's the reception of receiving what God has for us. Which allows us to reach to the full potential of what he has for us. And if we are truly willing to be about our Father's business. And the actions is the evidence that what we say is also what we do. Then there's no question about how my life is lived and what I do. Now, I want you to understand now, none of us going to get it 100% right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You ain't going to reach 100%. 100% mean you're perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know I ain't. Neither are you. So right now, we're going to invite all the perfect thoughts in our minds are making us think we're perfect. We're going to say to them, goodbye. Bye. But I'm striving to get better every day. But the Lord has me the way I am so that I can help. Because somebody else needs to know that they are not perfect. I'm going to join the church, give my life to Christ, but I got to get perfect first. That's a lie straight from hell. I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to give my life to Christ. That's a lie straight from hell. Because you're looking at other folk out there that just try to give you the persona of their perfection. And because they try to come across like that, until you get to their house, if you had a camera in there, you'd be like, oh, Lord, I'm praying hard for that. And you might be saying the same thing about me. But you're understanding what I'm saying. If you receive the announcement, you are intentional in wanting and doing better for God. Because his word is announced. Not for the sole purpose of making you and I better and stop us from being bitter. There are too many bitter folk in God's house. We need more folk who have a joy on the inside. You got to understand the Lord wants you to purify yourself. You got to learn how to forgive yourself. Because I want you to know, yes, you made some mistakes. Yes, you might have been the cause of some of the stuff that happened in your life. But you got to get over yourself and forgive yourself. And the way that you forgive yourself is confess it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to get better. You got to learn how to purify yourself and stop letting folk beat you up. Because I want you to know, before you start beating somebody else up, throw the mirror in your face. So that we can truly get there together, y'all. I'm talking to my brothers and sisters who are struggling with their own purification. But then you're constantly reminded. Somebody's always doing this. Hey! 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 Excuse me, Sister Ruby, just an example. You understand what I'm saying? But some folk, they smile at you. But if you was able to read their thoughts, you'd get out the way. God wants you and I to get better. He don't want you and I to get bitter. Because I want you to know, when you draw closer to the Lord and he shows you stuff, it'll make you feel sometimes like, Lord, why? Well, Jesus will remind us when they nailed him to the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they... He saw it all happening to him. And he said, if you're going to truly be my disciples and follow me, some folk will be trying to nail you. It might not be physical, but they're trying to nail you. Because of the fact that you're bringing things to their attention that they don't want to deal with. So they want to nail you. They want to shut you up. They don't want you to tell the truth. They don't really want to be free. They say they want it, but their actions ain't. Help us. Somebody's being freed right now. Help us. Y'all don't know how hard it is when I know folks say stuff about me. And I still look at you and smile. And I say, Lord, help me. Because I know what some stuff been said. But I say, Lord, help me. Because of the fact that I realize that in order for me to pastor this church, I got to make myself small and let God be big in me. Because God is the bigger person. Because if God wasn't a bigger person, then Jesus never would have came. Somebody had to be the adult in the room. Sin had us all acting like spoiled brat children, tearing up everything around us. But then Jesus stepped in. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. I'm going to be the adult in the room. Because there's always something that'll make that child in you want to come out. That irrational child. The one that wants to throw the temper tantrum. The one that want to go sit in the corner and suck his thumb. The one that wanted to grab his ball and go home and say, ain't nobody playing. But I thank God. He came to be the adult in the room so that you and I can get over ourselves and allow him to take over. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do I got anybody who allowed Jesus to take over? Do I got anybody who realize I am where I am because I allowed Jesus to take over? Do I got anybody who recognizes and realizes that, Lord, for so long I was trying to make myself big and make you small. But, Lord, when I was doing that, I was hurting myself. I was hurting others. But, Lord, when I learned how to get small so that you can get big, I saw change come. So I encourage you, my brother, I encourage you, my sister, to receive the announcement and let God have his way.